Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning is the parable of the 10 virgins as recorded in St. Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter. In our Gospel this morning, Jesus is speaking privately to his disciples on the Mount of Olives as they ask him concerning about the end times and judgment day. And as Jesus often does, he tells them a parable. This parable is not for those outside of the Christian church, but it's for you and me and all who are part of the invisible Christian church. And the parable is a stark warning. It's a warning to true Christians, weak Christians, and false Christians about our Lord's second coming. Make no mistake, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming on the last day to judge the living and the dead. And the lesson of our parable this morning is crystal clear. At the moment of Christ's return, either you believe or you don't. When God's trumpet sounds, either you're saved or you are damned. There will be no mulligans for you golfers. There will be no do-overs, no second chances. It's pretty simple. All who trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation will be whisked up into the clouds and enter the wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end, to live with him in eternal glory. However, all who trust in themselves, trust in their self-righteousness, their works, and their deeds, will be sent off to hell and eternal damnation. In our parable, the bridegroom is Christ. On judgment day, he will return to take his bride at the Christian church home with him, taking all true believers into the wedding feast. The 10 virgins represent all who call themselves Christian. Whether they are strong, weak, or false Christian, the 10 virgins represent all of them. And you can't tell the difference between the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. They all look the same. They all dress the same. They're all carrying lamps. They go to church together. They're baptized. They sing the hymns together. They confess the creed together. And those lamps they have to shine forth for the bridegroom as he enters the wedding feast. But here's the difference. The wise virgins have oil so that the wick and the lamp might burn. The oil represents the Christian faith that is continually sustained by our Lord's means of grace, working by the power of the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament. The wise virgins represent all who have the oil of God's faith, the oil of God's word and sacrament, having faith in the gospel of Christ, that gospel that is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The wise virgins represent all who have the oil of God's word that is attached to water at the font, and trusting in God's promises, giving in holy baptism, that Christ has sanctified them, having cleansed them by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present them to himself in splendor, holy and without blemish, at the wedding feast on the last day. The wise virgins represent all who have the oil of God's word attached to simple means of bread and wine, Jesus' body and blood, and having faith in our Lord's words given for you and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Now, it's not because of anything that the wise virgins did or would do. They have not earned this title, but it's what the Holy Spirit does working through the Word. God's word always does what it says, and the wise virgins have the oil of faith so that their lamps burn bright and shine out into a darkened world, bearing fruits of faith before God and bearing fruits of faith toward their neighbor. The foolish virgins, on the other hand, they have no oil. Perhaps they had oil at one time, but the oil has run dry. They no longer trust and depend on God's word and sacrament. Faith cannot survive apart from word and sacrament because they are the means by which the Holy Spirit works. It's a little bit like your car won't run without gasoline and your lights won't come on in your house without electricity. Gas and power are the means by which your car and lights work. Without gas and power, your car and your lights are worthless. So too is a lamp without oil. The foolish virgin's lamps might look pretty sitting on a shelf, but without oil, they're worthless. Now remember, I said you can't tell the difference between the wise and the foolish by looking at them. The foolish virgins also have lamps. They have that outward appearance of being Christian, but they're only going through the motions. They talk the talk. They cry out, "Lord, Lord," but their praises of Jesus is nothing more than lip service. They want to fit in with the crowd. Their good works are not for the glory of God, but for the glory of self. They still may attend church, but they don't gladly hear and learn the preaching of the gospel. They don't treasure the miraculous work that God does through his simple means of attaching water to the word to the water, attaching his word to bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. They don't trust in Christ alone for their salvation. They have no oil in their lamps, but they figure carrying a lamp helps them fit in a little better. It's better than carrying no lamp at all. It makes them look like everyone else. All Christians carry a lamp. But carrying a lamp will not get you into the wedding celebration. It is true, you've heard many times, sitting in a pew is not enough. Kneeling and regurgitating the confession and the creed is not enough. Staying awake in the sermon is not enough. Receiving the sacrament is not enough. Yes, God's word is powerful unto salvation, but his word must be received by faith. Faith must have something to cling to. It needs an object to hold on to. It doesn't come by works of the law. It comes from hearing the gospel message of Christ. And while the proper object of faith is God himself, he gives us the good news of his gospel to grasp hold of and cling to as an object of faith. He attaches that word then to the water, to bread and wine, so that we may cling to these means of grace by faith. Faith comes from hearing the word, but wherever the word is not heard or where the word is rejected, faith cannot and will not survive. For where there is no faith, there is no love, there are no good works. But where there is faith, there is oil in the lamp, there is the light of God's grace that shines out into the darkened world. The flame of faith is visible to all who look upon the Christian. It is visible evidence of the Christian's love for their neighbor by their good works and their deeds, giving of their tithes and their offerings. It is faith alone that saves, but faith is never alone. Faith must have works to be genuine. You can see with your eyes whether a person who claims they have faith truly has life-saving faith and are justified by witnessing their good works. Now, good works don't save, but the good works are a response to God and evidence of what has happened in the heart by faith. In the parable, the groom's delay points toward the period of time between Jesus' ascension into heaven and his return on the last day. We are living in that period of time now. Five times in Matthew's gospel, Jesus explicitly states, "No one knows the day or the hour of his return." People fall asleep. All 10 virgins are asleep. None of them knows when the bridegroom will arrive. You and I don't know when the bridegroom will arrive. There will be no time to get ready. There will be no time to grab your Bible and do a quick brush up on the notes. So you must be ready, because there will not be an advance notice. Because at this unknown hour that is stated as midnight in our text, the cry will go out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." For those five virgins and all who have the oil of faith, it'll be a wonderful celebration. They're prepared for the groom's coming, and they will go into the wedding feast. What a glorious banquet it will be. However, for the foolish virgins and all who lack that oil of true faith, it'll be a time of deep sorrow and dread. They're not prepared to enter the feast. And all who are not prepared to meet the bridegroom when he arrives will have the door slammed in their face. For the bridegroom has shut the door to the wedding feast. Four times in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, St. John records Jesus saying, "I am coming soon." That is your warning. There is no excuse. Jesus is coming, and he has prepared the way for you in advance. He has prepared a way into the wedding feast, providing you the oil of faith. The bridegroom, the King of Glory, loves his bride so much that he gives you that faith, and he also gives you his life and Holy Spirit so that by him you may also have life. The King of Glory didn't come into the world to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He gave himself up as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God on Calvary's cross on your behalf. He has given you the Holy Spirit to call you by the gospel, enlighten you with his gifts, sanctify you, and keep you in the one true faith. And he is coming again to lead you, the Holy Christian Church, his bride, into his eternal wedding feast. And on that day, he will judge the living and the dead, bringing his saints to heaven, sending the unbelievers to eternal hell. Among the unbelievers, there will be people who have names on church rosters. They're on church rosters out there, but these people don't really belong to the invisible church. They are the foolish ones. Their praises are lip service. Their works are self-centered. They have lamps, but they do not have the oil of faith. And when they try to enter the wedding feast, the door will be closed. They will cry out, "Lord, Lord, open to us." Jesus will answer, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour." Brothers and sisters in Christ, Judgment Day is coming. And it's coming when you and I least expect it. And when it comes, you won't have time to grab your Bible or run to confession or brush up on the notes. Every opportunity to fuel your lamp will have come to an end. Good intentions cannot go out and buy you oil. You cannot borrow oil from someone else. You need that oil of faith that sustains faith. And now is the time to replenish that oil that sustains you in the one true faith until the hour of Christ's return. Now is the time we hold fast to God's word that he has given you, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Take hold of God's word, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest that word so that you look forward to that great day when Jesus leads you, members of his bride, the church, into his eternal wedding feast. Now, to be sure, faith is not your own doing. It is a work of God. It's not something you create or you achieve. As we read in adult Bible study downstairs earlier, Jesus has the words of eternal life. He is the word. He is the life. And it is by the power of that Holy Spirit working through the word that creates and sustains that oil of faith within you. His life is your life. His righteousness, his victory over sin, death, and the grave, they are all yours by faith, promised you in the waters of holy baptism, reinforced and sustained you in bread and wine, Jesus' body and blood. And by the fruits of your faith, you can now let your lamp shine out into a darkened world, and it will lighten your way to the paths of eternal glory in heaven. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.